I want to ask you to, we're going to look at God's Word. The text this morning is really short. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation in that, but it's going to basically say the same thing regardless of what you're reading from. Then we're going to read Romans 15, verse 4 from today's English version. And so let me just start with 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be what? Joyful. Always be joyful. Doesn't say ridiculously, stupidly, smiling and grinning at everything. It says always be joyful. Romans 15, verse 4. Everything written in the Scriptures was written to teach us in order that, for the purpose of, that we might have hope. You could put joy through the patience and the encouragement which the Scripture gives to us. So let me just start off by saying Merry Christmas, everybody. It's good to have you here. It really is. Merry Christmas to you. And I'll say welcome to the Hill, those of you who may be guests with us today. It is always a joy to have you with us, our guests. You're just really special to us. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope and pray that God will just speak to your heart and guide you and give you that wisdom. And if this is where He wants you, that'll be clear to you. And you can begin pursuing and chasing after that journey. We'd love to help you find Harmony Hill as your home. Our series that we're in through the Christmas holidays is Christmas Is. And this morning, I want us to just focus on, I want us to think about that Christmas is joy. Christmas is joy. Now, I shared with you last week, and in fact the week before, I'm not talking about happiness. When I say Christmas is joy, we're not talking about happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. Remember our little saying, happiness happens when everything that happens to me happens to happen happily, right? And so then we're happy. It's because everything around us is good and everything is falling our way. Happiness is a circumstantial emotion. That's not what we're talking about. Happiness is purely emotional. And my emotions and your emotions are up and down. I don't control my emotions. My emotions are what they are, okay? So I don't really have any control over that. But how does joy happen in my life? How does joy take place? Well, if you get out your life point outline, if you haven't already done that, I'm going to give you a definition. By definition, joy is the power from God to face anything. Joy is the power from God for me to be able to face anything that life throws at me. Power comes, therefore, from truth. Because the Lord told us in the Word, it doesn't come from circumstances, it comes from truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free, right? All right, the truth sets you free. It sets you free in the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life. So here's what God is saying for me and for you. Joy in my life, if I have joy today, I have joy for one reason. It's not has nothing to do with circumstances, has nothing to do with what's going on in my life, has nothing to do with the fact that everything is just going the way I want it to in my life. That's happiness. But I'm talking about joy. Joy means I know that I know that I know I am blessed by God regardless of what is taking place in my life. Regardless of what is taking place in the church that I pastor. I have joy because I know God's hand is with me. Joy comes from knowing that God is with you. Joy comes from knowing God is watching over you. That your house is being watched over by the Almighty. that you're coming in and you're going out is being watched over. And joy comes from knowing God is taking care of you. It's not the government. Lord, help. Right? It's God is taking care of me. The Lord's taking care of me. And so here's the truth I want you to notice in your outline. Joy comes not from what I have, but from knowing what cannot be taken away from me. See, that's what joy is. It's what you can't get from me, what you can't take from me. Someone can take your job. Somebody could take my job as shepherd here on the hill, take it away from me. But they cannot take from me God's presence in my life. They cannot take God's purpose in my life. And they cannot take God's provision in my life. Because that's from Him. I can lose a relationship. Somebody can walk out of my life. Somebody can turn against me. That's very important for me. So somebody can leave and desert me. But God's love for me and His plan for me never changes. And that's the basis for my joy. I can lose my health. I can come down with a terminal disease. It happens because our bodies are broken and we live in a broken world. Doesn't mean God hates me. Doesn't mean God's come against me. It means I am mortal. This body inherited all kinds of brokenness from my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. I come from a long line of broken, sick people. And so do you. And every now and then, their sickness pops up into my life and into your life. It doesn't mean God hates us. It means we live in a broken world. And I can lose my health. But what doesn't change is God's timetable for my life. I will not, as I walk with Him, I will not end my life prematurely, because God has already numbered my days and they have been written down in the book of life from before time immemorial. And as long as I am walking with Him and I am obedient to Him, I can get sick and I can have things happen to me, but I will last as long as God has determined I will be on this earth. Does that make sense? And so in that, I've got joy, because God's plan for me is going to happen. My earthly life can be severely altered. It can be taken from me, but my eternal destination is set. It is immovable. And the day you're throwing dirt in my face, you can know I am more alive then than I've ever been in my life, because I'm with Him. Amen? Wow. That is why our text says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, go back to that, always be joyful. But let me just kind of confess something here. That verse would be a whole lot easier if always wasn't there. If it was just be joyful. Okay. It just doesn't, but you throw in always, you know. That's a little more difficult. It is easier at times than at others for me to be joyful. So how do I have joy that survives difficulty? How do I have joy that survives when I suffer loss? And we can suffer loss at Christmas time just like any other time, right? It can leave us. And our crushing stress, boring days, weeks and months when life is in a holding pattern. You know, and nothing is changing. And what I want you to understand is the people of the first Christmas had joy. Just look, if you look back, and let me just give you some passages when you look at it a little bit later on. Matthew 2 and verse 10, the wise men had joy. They rejoiced when they saw the star. Luke 1:44, John the Baptist, when he was in his mother's womb, rejoiced and was glad at the sound of Mary because of the presence of the Lord in her womb. Luke 1:47, Mary had joy. She said, I rejoice and I exult in God my Savior. Luke 2 and verse 20, the shepherds had joy out in the field. So it's like with regards to the whole Christmas thing, joy just keeps popping up everywhere. So look at the inside, if you will, in your outline. The source of joy that they had is also for you and me today. That's what God wants me to understand. They had joy, and I and you can have joy. Let's go back to Romans 15, verse 4. Everything written in the Scriptures was written to teach us in order that we might have hope. You could say in order that we might have joy. This is a reason why we read the Bible through each year. And let me just do a little commercial here. I've got here, this is the one-year chronological Bible. Now, you can get one of these in our library. This is the large print edition here, my favorite. And it's in the New Living Translation. You can pick one of these up for $10 if you haven't gotten one. And you go by our library and get one today. I'm adding something new. I feel like a TV preacher. Number two is extreme devotion. This is something that I've added this year. And I've started reading this in the morning. And I would encourage you to get one of these. We've ordered a number of them. I didn't know what your response was going to be. You can get this for $5. And Extreme Devotion is from Voice of the Martyrs. And every day you can read a true story. It may be from several hundred years ago. It may be from something that's happening now, that's happened in this particular century. But these are true stories of believers who are suffering for their testimony in Jesus Christ. They're in different parts of the world, and they're going through extreme persecution because they're followers of Christ. And what it will do is it will encourage us, number one, to give thanks to God for where we are in this world, but number two, to also remind us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering for and standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can get one of these. It'll bless your life. You can read one of those short ones or just short one-page devotions every day, and I think it'll help you in your journey. And that's $5. It's also in the library. So that's why we do that. It's because every Bible story wasn't just for those experiencing it. It was also for us today. And so in what they went through, God says, I wrote it for you so that you can find the same joy that they found. So let's take this journey this morning. Let me just talk about it. I want to answer the question, where do I find joy? What is it that God teaches me about joy in this world? Okay, because it's totally antithetical to what we normally grow up with and think with regards to joy in our lives. So the first thing I want you to notice in your life point outline is that joy is right now. Joy is right now. Now let's just suppose something. Get you a piece of paper in your mind and put a dot right there. And that dot is you and your life and everything that's going on in your life. And in our minds, we think about we're there. Joy is over here with something in particular. And so we think about a line from here to getting over there to where joy is. Now, what I want you to understand is that is totally non-biblical. There is no truth in that as far as biblical scripture is concerned. Here's what God is saying. God is saying that joy is not somewhere else on the page. Joy is not somewhere else in my life or your life. Joy, if I'm going to have it, is on that dot. That's where joy is. It's on the dot. Joy is in my present life. Look at the insight in your outline. If you can't find joy now, you're not going to find it, period. Joy has to happen on my dot. It has to happen right now in my life. It is not somewhere else in my life. It is right here, right now, and the same is true for you. That's what the Bible is teaching us. Luke 2, verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Here's the deal. All of a sudden, in their boring life of sheep watching, God shows up. That's the story here. And so look at the truth in your outline. Joy is not from what's around us, but from God with us in our present. What is joy? Joy is the presence of God in my present life. That is the source of my joy, that God is with me. That's just the first thing I want you to realize. That's where joy comes from. Abraham's life, if you go back to the Old Testament, Abraham's life was an ordinary life down in Ur of the Chaldees. You wonder, where in the world was Ur of the Chaldees? It's a great question. And so he was in an ordinary, boring, everyday life till joy came into his life. What was it that changed Abraham's life? It was the day God caused Abraham to realize, I am here. I am in your everyday life. I'm in your everyday. And God simply said, follow me and I will make your life a blessing. There's another example. I remember David. He was a tender of sheep. He was away from his family. He was away from town. He was away from all the excitement. He was out in the open fields. He was out there at night with the wild animals until God sent Samuel to anoint him with oil. And Samuel said, God has chosen you. You're out here just a sheep tender. You beginning to think, this is just life. This is the way my life's going to be. I can't even be in town where my big brothers are. I'm out here, and I'm just going through this ordinary, dull life. And God shows up, and God says, I am here with you, David. I have chosen you to be king. I've chosen you to bless you. I've chosen to guide you. I've chosen to fulfill the reason for your existence. You were not made primarily to shepherd sheep. I have had you shepherding sheep because I want you to learn how to shepherd people. I have made you to be a king. You see, that's where joy comes from. Joy comes from realizing God is here with me. He is here with you in your present life. Can you say amen to that? That he is here. The shepherds of Christmas were out in their fields carrying out their boring duties. Can you imagine anything more mind-numbing than watching sheep chew grass? All day. Every day. And then you watch their white bodies laying on the grass all night. So what do you do during the day? I watch them chew grass. What do you do at night? I watch them sleep. That's what I do. It's an exciting life. And I do it every single day of my existence. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of this boring life, God shows up. God shows up, and they begin praising God. Why? Because all of a sudden, they realize we're not alone. The God of the universe called us to be shepherds. The God of the universe has equipped us to do this. And not only that, but God is with us. Look at the truth you outline. The source of joy for you is the same for me as your pastor. That during ordinary days, God can show up, and life becomes totally different. And you see, that's the message of Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, the message of Christmas is that God wants to be in your everyday business as usual lives and give you joy. Now, I'm going to save you a lot of money right here, so listen up. You don't have to go on vacation. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm just saying you don't have to go on vacation this summer to find joy. And people do that all the time. I'm not saying that you do it. I'm just simply saying I'm going to liberate you from that if that's what you do. You don't have to go on vacation this summer to find joy. And you probably already found out it doesn't work most of the time anyway. And the reason is because every time you go on vacation, you take with you the very thing that keeps you from finding joy. You. We're the ones that are stressed out. We're the ones with the attitude. You ever notice that the attitude you have here just winds up following you to Missouri, West Texas, you know, Arkansas, Missouri, wherever it is that you go, you wake up, well, I'll declare, there it is right there. staring me in the face. I thought I was getting away from that. We're the one. I'm not going to find joy. Listen, you will not find joy simply from leaving your present job. Your present job is not your problem. You will not find joy leaving your family. Your family is not your primary problem if you're miserable. You will not find joy leaving him or her, your spouse. They are not your primary problem. The primary problem is you. When you and I fix us, the majority of our problem is taken care of instead of like carrying it off to somebody else. Joy comes when, like the shepherds, I see the God in who lives in my everyday life, and I realize I'm not alone. Every day that I wake up with God watching over me. And there, the God of the universe has said, I made you for a plan and for a purpose. And I'm telling you, the first source of joy is that joy is all around us every day. It is right now, and it comes from the presence of God in our life. Which brings me to number two. Joy isn't made, it is sent. That's what I see in Scripture. Joy isn't something that I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to discover or bring into my life. It is something that is sent to me. Now listen to me. Joy is something that is sent to me. Joy is sent to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The shepherds were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." So here's the question. How is it that I find joy? How is it that we find joy from a biblical perspective? People think, I can get happy, I can find joy if I work harder, if I make more money, if I have more things, nicer home, nicer car, nicer clothes, if I have all that, then that will bring joy to my life. Have you ever noticed how many miserable rich people there are? Have you ever noticed how that people who live in many, I'm not saying everybody, certainly not everybody, but many who live in mansions and are worth millions, when you begin to examine their life is a series of marriages. It's like they can't get a marriage that lasts. They can't get one that is sustained. Their life is a series of family unity struggles. There's always infighting going on. And their life is one of parasitic friends. How miserable it must be to never really know, do you want to be my friend for me or you want to be my friend because of my money? I've never had to deal with that. Maybe you have, but I've heard that that's a problem. Others think, you know, so you can think, if I just get all this kind of stuff. Others think, and I watch this on TV, you know, those Alaska shows, whatever. And people, I see the people pursuing happiness. You get happiness, you withdraw from the world. You know, I'm going to withdraw. My life will be better if I withdraw from the world. So I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to seclude myself from the outside world. I'm going to live, quote unquote, off the grid, which means I'm going to be so lost in the woods somewhere you cannot find me. And people think that's going to bring them joy. Look at the truth in your outline. Joy isn't the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God. It is his presence in my life. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Look at the next truth. Christmas joy is always sent, and it is offered to many, but it is experienced personal. Joy is sent, and it's got to become personal with me. Christmas is personal. Jesus came for me. Jesus came for you. I don't know anything about Christmas, and neither do you, until I know that Jesus wasn't sent just for the world. Jesus was sent for me. Jesus was sent for you. That's where joy comes from. Notice, however, what the shepherds did after they saw the Lord. Luke 2:17. After seeing the baby, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Here's just something that pops out from Scripture that God wants us to see. The truth in your outline. Joy is sent, and then joy is shared. That's the biblical thing. The shepherds went and told, and the people were astonished. I cannot walk into everybody's life in Lufkin. There are many people who do not know me. There's probably a lot of people who don't want to know me. I don't have an open door into their life, but I have an open door into some people's lives. And you have an open door into certain people's lives. People who know something about you. And the truth in your outline is this: people need good news, and they will listen when it's personal. You see, that's what I want you to understand about Christmas. That's why we talk about inviting people. That's why we have made the invite cards that you can pick up this morning, if you haven't already, at the information desk. And you can give these out. I take these with me to the gym. I give them out. I give them out at different places that I'm around, because it's the power of invitation. It is the power of letting people know that we are excited about what God is doing here on the hill, that there is life here. And when you make it personal, people want to hear that. When it becomes something personal, so you invite them to come. All the time you are inviting people. And the shepherds told others out of their own personal joy, okay? And so joy is here. If I can't find it in my day right now, I'm not going to find it. And joy is sent to me. It is a personal thing. God said, I sent Jesus for you. I want to be in your life. I want to give you hope. I want to give you a future. And the answer is through my son that I sent personally to you. And then number three, joy is a journey. It's a journey. Matthew 2 and 10. When they saw the star, talking about the wise men, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. You remember what they told Herod? They told King Herod, we saw his star, and we have come all this way to worship him. And you see, what God is saying is that joy is in our life when you and I make our life about chasing him. About chasing him. Why? Because that's where joy comes from. Joy is a journey. Because I am broken and I live in a broken world and I need him. The wise men teach me that joy is a journey in my life. It takes time. It takes time for me to find consistent joy in my life. Now listen to me. And consistent joy in my life, not up and down like a roller coaster, consistent joy comes from me making consistent decisions that I'm going to chase after him. That's why we talk about worshiping the Lord once every 7 days. Don't make it hit and miss. You see, my future, the condition of my future, is made one decision at a time. And as long as I consistently make the right decision, that is what forms my future. And I want to tell you, whatever your future is, it is based upon the decision you're making right now. And every day, you and I make decisions that are affecting tomorrow. Does that make sense? I need you to shake your head.
Yes.
Okay, good. Psalm 30, verse 5. Crying may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. See, I experience pain. Why? Because I live in a broken world. I'm a broken man. I'm a broken guy. There is brokenness in me. And so I experience pain. I know what it is to break down and cry. I know what it is for the tears to run out of my eyes. Now there are a lot of us here that we don't know people to see it, but in quiet places and in secluded times, those tears roll. And what God is saying is that joy is birthed in my pain and my tears when I realize that my Father is with me in my tears. He is with me in the brokenness of this world. And he says, I want you to come to me. And if you come to me, I will bring good to you in the midst of all this craziness. You see, that's where my joy comes from. And it comes from me consistently saying yes to that invitation. Isaiah chapter 50, one of the most blessed passages for me. Isaiah 50 teaches us that there will be times when you and I walk in darkness and have no light. There will be times when what I'm going through and what you're going through, nobody can help you out of it. Why? Because you're in a period of darkness. And there is no light. There is no light. Say that with me. There is no light. That simply means there will be those times you can't explain it. What do? God warns us. He said, your temptation is going to be to build your own fire. Your temptation is going to be to start your fire, and I'm going to find my way out of this. And God said, that would be a mistake. Because he said, if you make your own fire, I promise you, you will lay down in torment. You will start to make decisions that are wrong. Why? Because you're in darkness. And the darkness is prescribed. It is part of our journey in this broken world. And God says, do not make your own fire. But what he says is, rather, stand still. Be still. And wait on me. Wait on me. Because see, that's where my joy comes from. My joy comes that God is with me. I'm not alone in this world. And when crazy, broken stuff happens in my life, my joy, and I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness happens when everything that happens to happen happily. I'm not talking about that. Because quite frankly, that didn't happen a lot in my life. I'm talking about joy. And so the insight in your outline, don't confuse joy with a quick fix. Joy isn't instant. It never is. People try to find instant joy. Make it happen in an instant. Why? I don't like going through suffering. I don't either. I don't like being miserable. I don't like crying. I don't like going through all the stuff that I go through. What happens is a lot of people, they will try to find, I'll get a new hobby. So they get this new pastime. They get on some drug. They get into some new relationship. They go after some new job. I'm going to buy a new home. I'm going to get a new car. You know what that is? That is an adrenaline fix. I'll feel better if I can just get this adrenaline fix. That I feel like I can do this. I can make changes in my life. Here's the truth in your outline. The goal of life isn't a perpetual adrenaline rush because joy doesn't require adrenaline. Adrenaline rushes are not joy. They are addictions. And they do not work. They do not work. They do not last. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and the heaven. Notice the word towers over there in Psalm 148, 13. No matter my life situation, no matter my struggle, God, you know what gives me joy? God towers over my life. That's what gives me joy. He towers over what somebody says about me. My God towers over my feelings of inadequacy because he says, I have chosen you, you've not chosen me. He towers over my health crisis. He towers over everything in my life. So let me give you an invitation. Here's the cliche truth. Every journey begins with the first step, right? So you got to make a first step. Now maybe this morning you've got a great family, you've got a good job, you've got a wonderful marriage. But I want you to listen to the truth. Luke 2:34. Simon blessed him. When Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to the temple, Simon blessed them and he said to Mary, this child is set for the rise and the fall of many. And then he added, and he will be a joy to many others. All right, now listen. Family, job, marriage, raises, all of that can only give me happiness at times. And what God is saying, joy comes in letting go of them and grabbing hold of Jesus, the one who rules over all, the one who says, I will work everything out for your good. Wait on me. Why do I have to wait? Because you're in a broken world. You're in a broken world. And God says it's part of the journey. And here's the truth I want to give you to close with. Someone here this morning thinks that they're saved, but you're not. And I'll tell you why. Because you never have let go to take hold of Jesus. You've never let go. You've never let go of the world. The world still has you. You have never grabbed hold of Jesus and where that he's everything. He's everything. Worship for you is hit and miss. Why? It's because you haven't let go. You haven't let go. You try to find joy in circumstances. And God simply says, that's all happiness. And that's up and down, it's roller coaster. But God says, I want to give you joy. And Christmas joy comes by yielding your life to the Lord to take care of you. So I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. This morning, as we get ready to close.